Okay, Ayin Vav Amud Beis. So the Mishnah says, Hafarat Nedarim. The Mishnah has now moved on. We were talking so much about the dinim of the Nara HaMurasa, which is the title of the perek. But now we've gone in back to kind of regular cases of Hafarat Nedarim. Hafarat Nedarim, the husband or the father of the minor child have rights to be mefir, but when do they have that right?
B'yom
Sham'o. Where do you know that from? Where's the Pasuk? In Parshat Matot, right here. If I could see, that'd be a wonderful thing. So where's your Chumash? Right, I gave out the Xeroxes. I said these will come in handy. Very good, very good. Anyway, it's Perek Lamed. Ve'im biyom shamo isha yaniya ota ve'hefer et nidra asher aleha ve'et miftas fatea asher asra al nafsha v'ashem yislach la. So biyom shamo is the pasuk. So farad nedarim kol hayom. Kol hayom. Yesh bedavar lahakel ulahachmir. And in this matter, in the idea that the father or husband has biyom shamo, there's both a, well, the pshat of the Mishnah seems to sound like what?
That day, if you an hour before sunrise.
No, no, what does it mean, lahakel ulahachmir?
The pshat of the Mishnah seems to be that it's lachomra, because if you only have a very simple time, if you miss it, you miss it. But you could understand it lakula because you are giving
you're giving them a whole day to research and then come up with a decision.
Yeah. Well, but you're not really good. It's unbeknownst to you, you've come you've represented, the two of you have represented what we're going to discover is the machlokas amoroyim that we're about to encounter unless you learned ahead. So baruch shakivantem that you've come upon the machlokas amoroyim here. But what is it? What is the pshat of the Mishnah?
There's an aspect of
chumrah,
an aspect of
chumrah. There's an aspect of chumrah. Now, normally we have this idea that, like, you know, behind every chumrah there's a kula, and behind every kula there's a chumrah. Hmm. What would an example of that be?
The size of a
kazayis. Yeah, fair. So the size of a kazayis, everybody knows the famous Chazanish who says a kazayis is the size of a watermelon.
Right, which is nice on Yom Kippur, I guess.
Which is like a chumrah, because on Pesach you have to eat a lot of matzah. But on Yom Kippur, for a chole that has to eat less than a shiur of a kazayit. But if the kazayit is very big, I was exaggerating by saying it's a watermelon, but
if the size of watermelon has changed over the ages.
Oh, the size of the watermelon has changed. But as I will see, you can eat a much more significant amount than the most lenient she'ur. Right? So every chumrah has a kula. Now, look, practically, we don't function that way. Practically, we're choshesh l'chumrah in both directions. But objectively speaking, so it should work that way. And certainly, if somebody ate less than a Chazon Ish shiur, but more than everybody else's shiur, when they got it to Bez Nishom Island, they could say, I'm so mechad Chazon Ish. Presumably, the Chazon Ish is in Gan Eden, right there in the Yeshiva Shel Mala. You say, Chazon Ish. I'm so mechad you, get me off the hook. So,
not so much for Shabbat, but let's say during the week you could be davening Ma'ariv, and then some people in the adjacent community are davening Mincha because they're going to a later time.
Yes, and even for Shabbos purposes in an emergency.
Emergency, yeah.
In a dire emergency. There's a famous famous old NCSY case. No, this never happened to me. I was, you know, like, the fact that I became an Orthodox Jew played right into, like, all of my own obsessive compulsive, I don't want to say disorders, right? But I'm never late for anything. Like, the idea that we live a life that's regulated by the Zmanim. People who don't daven mincha, you think on any given day of the week they know what time sunset is? Probably not.
You don't know.
In other words, you know, like, there's a half a year you leave work and the sun is still out. And half of the year you leave work and it's already dark. And, you know, that's the lines of equinox, the lines of...
Right? I was once in London in the airport, and I'm in Mincha. So I asked the clerk here, I said, you know, which way is east?
Yeah, who knows which way is east?
I have no idea.
There's no practical reason you need to know which way is east, right? In the real world, I mean. Which way is east? What time is Zmanim are? What time sunrise is? What, right? But if you're an Orthodox Jew, you live your life, according to these rhythms of things. So
once in the Istanbul airport, and made a bad guess apparently, and I davened in Khmer or whatever it was. Yeah. And guy came up to me, no kippah, no nothing. He said, "You were pointing at
the." Maybe he was pointing you towards Mecca.
No, it turned out he was a closet from Jew. Right?
Yeah. So how do we get onto this topic?
You're talking about
NCSY. So like, there's always people, like, you know, like, late for the Shabbaton, and the days before Waze, like, there are all these stories of people going and getting lost. And so this one's a case. There's a bus of kids going someplace, and the Rav had paskin, like, in a kind of theoretical way. The Rav didn't, like, engage, Rav Salvech didn't engage in, like, real practical psak on an everyday basis. The theoretical way that in an emergency, you can be somechan Rabbeinu Tam, just like there are people that are machmir for Rabbeinu Tam about Shabbos, the end of the Shabbos. Rabbeinu Tam presumably also kept Rabbeinu Tam at the beginning of Shabbos, which is pretty late. There's some satmar chassidim that follow this position. In America, they kind of fell in line. When the Satmas in America, like, were what all the other from Jews, to them, it looked like they were being Mechal Shabbos. This created all types of problems in Marasayan. So I don't remember who it was. One of the other members of the Moetzis told the Satma Rav in America, like in the 50s, that you can't do it. You have to tell them they can't do this. Because it's... Yeah, there were so few from Jews in America. Right, that if the people that look the frumest are being quote unquote Mechal Shabbos, so the Satmas fell in line. But in principle, they paskin like Rabbeinu Tam, both in and out. So so Chumra and Kula, there's two sides. But that's not what the Mishnah means. That's not exactly what the Mishnah means, as we will soon see. So Ketzad, what does it mean that the husband has Yom Shamo Kol Hayom? Kate said, Nadra balele Shabbat. Yafer balele Shabbat. Uviyoma Shabbat ad shetechashech. So she takes a neder. You're about to sing an Eishes Chayil Miyimtza, and she's taking some crazy neder. So you can be made for her neder Friday night, Shabbos morning, the whole day of Shabbos up until ad shetechashech. What time is ad shetechashech? It depends on who you ask. Rashi says, where do we have another Mishnah that talks about Chashecha? And Psachim. And Brachot, where? Not Korbanot, no. Tefillat Arvit, Tefillat Mincha Kol Hayom. Rashi says, Ad Shetechshach. Right? Which we understand to mean Shkia. I mean, here it's also Lechumra, because of Sfeikat Yoma. But Nagid that we're talking about until Shkia. I get that we're talking about until Shkia. So Uviyom Hashabbat Ad Shetech Hashech. So in other words, why does the Mishnah talk about Shabbos?
Shabbos is defined by the
classic case that begins the night before and ends the night after.
Excellent. Very good idea. That is exactly what the Rambam says. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That is what here. That's what the Rashi says here. Yechola afer lo kol oto leil Shabbat, v'yom Shabbat, v'hu adin nami, ki nadra be'motzei Shabbat, shiafer kol oto ayom, be'echad b'Shabbat. Right, in other words, why does the Mishnah give Shabbat as an example? So it's not Shabbat lav dafka, it's just an example. If she, after you make, the second you put out Havdalah, she makes a neder, so Rashi says, or the pseudo Rashi, the commentary on the Dharm says, so you could do it the whole Motzei Shabbat, the whole Sunday, up until Shkia on Sunday. It's just an example. So why dafka give that example? Had enokit leil Shabbat mishum dashmoinan b'mash amru hafaran nedarim kol hayom kit leil Shabbat v'yomo shehalayla holech achar hayom. Like Saul said, right? To remind you that the Jewish day begins at sunset and it's erev avoker, vayerev avoker, yom echad, yom sheni, yom shlishi. That the Jewish day, the calendar day, changes at Shkia, and it's the calendar day we're talking about. So why use Shabbat as the example? Because that is the paradigmatic example of the Shabbat begins at. With the calendar day at sunset.
So it also means that if you made the neder Sunday morning, she only has till Sunday evening.
She only has till Sunday evening, right.
They change it
where? Oh, in the Rashi. To go, yeah, the Taka, that's you're right, right. What Gemara do you have?
This guy here.
No, what Gemara is that? An Echinami. It's a mistake in the Gersa in the Rashi, in the classical Rashi. Right. It should be that the Hayom Holech Achar Alayla, not the opposite. Vayer Avoker, Yom Echad. Ava lo li yom velayla she'im nadra biyom velo hafer la shuv ena yochol hafer la she'tech hashechei. She'ena fat nadarim ela oto yom shenadra, that same calendar day. What? It's not made late. It's up until the end of that, of the end of business. Right? Sometimes you will have how much time? 23 hours and 59 minutes. And sometimes you'll have 2 minutes. Right? It's up until the end of the closing bell of that day. Right? Nadra im chashecha mefer ad shelo techshach. If she makes a neder mamash in the last minutes, so you have only a few minutes. She im chashecha velo hafer eino yochol hafer. If the bell rings, you said whatever. In other words, Rabbeinu Tam, yeah.
It could be that two women make the neder at the exact same time, and one of them, one husband knows about time, one doesn't.
Oh.
So one has 2 minutes, the other one has until Sunday night. You know?
I guess, yeah. It's like the two kids that are. The two kids that are twins that are born moments apart.
Right.
And the later one has his bris first, and this. So the Gemara says. But the Rambam in the Perush Mishnayos says, that's the Rashi that says, the Gemara gives the example of Shabbat because it's the classic example of Hayom Olech Achar Laila, Vayera Vayvoker. But the Rambam in the Perush Mishnayos says, no, it gives the example of Shabbos to, so that you won't think of a certain Havamina. What Havamina might you think? Yeah, maybe you can't do Afar Nedarim on Shabbat. Why would you not be able to do Afar Nedarim on Shabbat? What?
Maybe like speaking in like.
Yeah. I mean, Hatarat Nedarim is like an act of Betin, which we don't do on Shabbat. But Afar Nedarim is.
But you could have had that.
Right, but why? Besides the fact that David's idea that's kind of not Shabbistic.
Well, because you know you can't have a bet given.
The Farad Dharma is not an act of bet.
It's in that category of things that you do to not fear a nugget. You could think just like you can't have a bet given if you are Farad Dharma, maybe you can't do a Farad Dharma.
What if she takes a neder on Shabbat? You hear it on Shabbat, but the neder is not relevant on Shabbat. Because the neder only regulates some activity that anyway she can't do on Shabbat.
There are many denarii that might not be any denarii that you could make. They may not be relevant.
She takes a neder.
You wouldn't be able to discuss, you know, makes a neder, you know, weave a certain way. You're not going to be able to.
I'm making a neder that every. You should make a neder on Monday, that every Thursday I'm going
to. No, but it's not an issue of discussing it. You know, if neder is going to weave a certain way, then you. What are you
then it's not relevant on Shabbat.
Are you allowing her to weave? Are you. That's, you know.
Or no, the opposite. Maybe she'll take a neder. I don't know, imagine, I don't know, let's say a woman takes a neder that, I don't know, we have one of those like lighter, you know, our stove with one of those burners doesn't work properly, so you have to light it with the clicker, with the matzit. So one of my kids got burned. You know, crazy, like those kids love those metzitim, right? It's like fun to click a button and get fire. Why that is, I don't know.
Wait a minute, no, talk about your kids.
What?
My kids never put a button. I feel bad.
So, and it's also like these things, they don't last very long. Right, so like you only get like a certain amount of clicks in them, and you know, like the kid is standing there going click, 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 click,
yeah,
click.
But they still work even with a flame because it still creates a spark.
So a kid got burned, not seriously. So your wife takes a ned there. I'm never going to light a fire with that mitzit. I'm only gonna use matches. I don't know, Nagi. I gave it an example just because it's a Maisa Shoya. But the point is that Nagi, that was her neder. It's irrelevant for Shabbat because on Shabbat you don't light not with matches and not with a mitzit and not with anything else.
I don't understand why that would make any difference.
Because his involvement in that hafarat neder has no direct relevance for Shabbat. Not muktza, but it's.
You know, it's parallel to. You can't touch
the neder. She makes a neder. She makes a neder. So I'm never going to drive in a Mazda.
Maybe she made the neder before Shabbat. He only hears about it on Shabbat.
But either way, in other words, in other words,
you're only arguing against the havamina. You're only arguing against the havamina. It's supposed to be where you can do it. So
right? No, but you could have a havamina that I can't be do hafarat nedarim on Shabbat. Why wouldn't you be able to do hafarat nedarim on Shabbat? One, because it's just not Shabbistic. Or maybe because in many cases of nedarim, it's not relevant for Shabbat itself. It's relevant for Wednesday. And if he does hafarat nedarim on Shabbat, maybe there's an element of hachana here. He's doing something on Shabbat for afterwards. Elama, this is his only chance. This is his only chance to do hafarat nedarim. Right?
You're saying basically like, I heard about the neder on Shabbos. It doesn't make a difference when she makes the neder.
Right, it doesn't matter. It's when he hears about it.
It's when I hear about it. Now I was talking to my friend in Shul, and he told me about this crazy neder my wife made. So I have, you're not saying, okay, well, since you heard about Shabbat, it's not relative to Shabbat, so you have all of Sunday. It doesn't wait.
That's for sure.
So either way, it's...
Right, so the point is, anyway, the Rambam says...
It reminds me of a scenario where, you know, she made an edit to spend $750 on a specific plane ticket or something, and that's the kind of thing you wouldn't normally...
Yeah. So the Rambam says the Mishnah gives the example of Shabbat, even though it's Shabbat lav dafka, to agav urcha, teach the halacha that you can do afaras nadarim on Shabbos.
And that's what the Ran says.
Right. So the Gemara says Tanya hafar nadarim kol hayom. That's what the Mishnah said. But how do you define kol hayom? Wait, we'll see. So when the Mishnah talks about lahakel or lahachmir, so we'll see that it's a little bit imprecise. The Ran points out it's a little bit imprecise. Because it doesn't mean lahachmir lahakel the way we were talking about it a minute ago. It means sometimes a little more, sometimes a little less.
As if you define a day by from sunrise to sunset. Okay? So, technically speaking, you can get yourself extra time.
No, in other words, depending upon when you hear about it, you'll either have more time
or less time.
Or less time. And as every day at sunset, the clock resets itself to 24:00. And it starts counting down, 23:59, 23:58, 23:57. If you hear it at 23:57, that's lahakel. You have a lot of time to figure out what you want to do with this neder. If you hear about it and it's like, you know, you hear the Mission Impossible music in the background and it's, you know, 10, 9, 8, 7, bump, 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 bump. Right? You have to defuse the bomb before it goes off and there's only 4 seconds left on the clock. Right? That's lahachmir. You're under the gun. So here, again, generally when we say lahachmir and lahakel, lahachmir means you're only allowed to eat this much food on Yom Kippur in an emergency. Lahakel means, no, you're allowed to eat much more. Or lahachmir means you have to eat this much matzah and leil haseder. And lahakel means a human being can't possibly be expected to eat that much food in the amount of time. Lahakel means, no, you have to eat only this amount. So here, lahachmir and lahakel isn't two sides stringent or lenient. Means that the circumstance, depending upon when he hears it, he'll either have more time or less time at his disposal. So the Gemara says, Tanya hafarnin darim kol hayom. So there's a machlokas. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, amru me'et lo'et. 24 hours. You hear the neder at 3 p.m., you have until 3 p.m. the next day. So before you go on in the Gemara, imagine for a second you haven't looked ahead already. Stretch your imagination. What is the Havamina that we're talking about? Me'et
late? You're supposed to get a yom.
What?
You're supposed to get a yom.
Biyom Shamo. What does Biyom Shamo sound like to you?
Sounds like you could say,
read the pasuk. Ve'im biyom Shamo isha yaniya ota.
The day, that 24-hour period, it starts. I have
or
a
the
day.
Calendar day.
I have a day.
That's
That's
the way we've been reading it right. Until now.
Right, but I've got 24 hours. Now I've got 24
so read that in. Read that into the pasuk.
I don't
it doesn't say lit yom for a day, a period of.
In the day.
On the day that he hears it.
So it's a bit of a stretch. But I don't think that's a possible stretch.
No, it makes sense, because if you're telling me it's in the day that he hears it, so okay, so it's within that day that you heard it, that those are your goggles. It has to be within that day that you heard it. You heard it 3 o'clock in the afternoon, day ends at 8, you got 5 hours. You heard
that's
it.
The conventional way of reading.
Right. But that's not what it says. You're saying it says...
You have 24 hours.
But this is what... But If you translate a pasuk biyom is in the day, but you're saying it, but you're translating it not as in the day, but on the day. On the day means
either
on
way.
The 24-hour period of when I heard it.
Hey, what about 10:05?
So read ahead in the Gemara. Tanya Hafar Nedarim Kol Hayom Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon Amru Me'et Lo'et. 24 Me'et Lo'et is a rabbinic expression that's synonymous with 24 hours.
Like the original position of beating up.
Like the original, but there is such a shita that you have to wait me'et lo'et 24 hours for meat to milk. Ben Yomo. Here's a counter example. The halacha of Ben Yomo is 24 hours. Right? Ben Yomo, actually here it works in support of you. Even though Ben Yomo is not a pasuk, it's a rabbinic expression. But Ben Yomo, what is the pshat? You use a pat. If it hasn't been used in 24 hours, if you cook a little milchiks and something fleishich, if it's not ben yomo, it hasn't been used in 24 hours, so then you can, then you, the assumption being that after 24 hours, whatever food has been absorbed into the pot is tam lifgam. It's a yucky taste. And that it's no longer what it is that we thought it was when it got absorbed. So now, since it doesn't add anything positive to the taste of something you'll cook into it next, so then you can kasher the pot to get rid of it. So ben yomo, yeah, nobody has this havamina, but in a parallel universe, you can imagine somebody saying, ben yomo mit pshuto kamashmo. Right? After shkia, you cooked in a pot at 8 a.m. or at noon or at 3 p.m., after Shkia, it's no longer Ben Yomo. It is no longer literally a child of the day on which it was made non-kosher. And after Shkia, on the next calendar day, you can cash it. There's no such Havamina. But you could understand somebody coming up with a Krum Havamina like that. Ben Yomo means after 24 hours on the clock. Because after all, it reflects a... What does it reflect? An objective scientific fact that after 24 hours something has changed in the taste of this food product. You know, there was this Rav Malamed issued this psak last week that everybody was talking about. No, and it's not really. It's a kula, but it's apparently Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach had said the same thing. That metal pots are metal pots, not ceramic pots.
Metal,
stainless steel metal are not boleya.
Right?
You have a chulent pot? How do you make chulent? In a crock pot. So you ever try making something else in a crock pot besides chulent?
We made chicken soup.
What did it taste like?
Chulent.
Tastes like chulent.
No, absolutely. That's what I always say. That's when I first really began to understand the idea of bolea.
Right.
Chicken soup was brown and it tasted like chulent.
Right. And
maybe it was because it cooked for the whole 24 hours.
Partially, but a crock pot, even a crock pot, which is our crock pots, are glazed. Right? In other words, it's ceramic, but it has a glaze. That glaze is not glass. There were some, even poskim, that thought that like glazed dishware, like most of it, not china, but most of our common everyday dishware, mugs and
Corel
is more complicated, but have a glaze on them. And the glaze is meant to prevent a certain amount of absorption into the ceramic. Rabbi Tendler Paskins, I presume, you know, on the basis of his father-in-law, Rav Moshe Feinstein, although I don't think this is in the Igros Moshe, Rav Tendler Paskins, that glazed dishware, mugs and things like that, do not require tefillat kelim. Many people are tovel glazed dishware, but the what is a mug? Think of a regular coffee mug.
You wouldn't have to do tefillat kelim on earthenware. But the glass, you might. So why? That's not an interesting.
Because the glaze is not glass, right? So the mice. If you tovel a coffee mug with a bracha, no. So you certainly shouldn't make a bracha.
A glass one, like a regular.
A regular, like a ceramic coffee mug.
No.
Right. So many people are machmir to tovel these things without a bracha. But Rav Tendler Paskins, you don't even need to tovel them.
Anything that's glazed.
No, and if you had a metal dish that was glazed,
anything ceramic.
A ceramic dish with a ceramic dish that doesn't have a glaze on it, l'cholodeo, doesn't need tefilska. But a ceramic dish with a glaze is.
I don't define ceramic. I'm not sure.
If only there was a worldwide resource that we could look up the technical definition of ceramic.
Earthenware.
So
you mean versus glass? I mean, it's clearly not metal or wood or plastic, but you're saying as compared to glass?
Yeah.
Because that was the question about coral.
A ceramic material is an inorganic.
Inorganic.
The definition of a ceramic is it's an inorganic solid material comprising metal, nonmetal, and metalloid atoms, primarily held in ionic and covalent bonds. The crystallinity of ceramic materials ranges from highly oriented to semi-crystalline, blah, 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 blah.
Well, why in that case, if you weren't going to be told all the... I guess we're getting way off, but if you weren't going to be told all the ceramic pot without a glaze, why would you have thought that with the glaze made it necessary?
Because glass needs to go.
Because glass needs
to go. Because it seems like glass.
Right.
Okay.
So, how do we get onto that?
So all these coffee cups, I shouldn't be...
No, in other words, if you've always been, I think the mainstream opinion is you tovel it without a bracha. I'm telling you a kula. If you've always done it, so you should probably continue to do it. But
you were talking about the sack of Malamed,
So if you have a metal dish, so our metal dishes are not boleya, because the way our metals are made, they're made much more. Stark.
And
they did an experiment a number of years ago where they took they made radioactive soup and they cooked it in a stainless steel pot.
And they found the stainless steel did not.
And then after they emptied out the pot, they did a
Geiger counter
whatever on the pot, and there was no radioactivity in it.
So but specific, it must be specifically stainless steel, because cast iron those are the ones that you're getting trouble if you clean it too much, and they do absorb, and they, you know.
So I think stainless steel, he says that if you cook something chalavi in that it look cool. This is only b'dieved. If after ben yomo, you cooked something chalavi in a bisari pot, so you don't need to kasher it. So,
also for Pesach, it must have relevance.
I don't know that he discussed for Pesach, because for Pesach.
Obviously, B'dieved, but B'dieved there too. You forgot to tovel, you realize you had not toveled that one fork, and you're not sure, and then.
So apparently that Rav Shlomo Zalman said something similar, and Rav Malamed, I guess, popularized this or promoted this idea recently in a tshuva. Ben Yomo. I'm sorry, I'm a little fuzzy tonight. Ben Yomo. So Ben Yomo means 24 hours. Me'et la'et. Me'et la'et is a rabbinic expression that means 24 hours. Kavush. What's kavush? Not what Obama was talking about
preserved.
The halacha is kavush k'mevushal dami. That if you pickles, you take cucumbers and you put them in vinegar, after 24 hours, they have the din of kavush, which is a type of cooking, right?
You can't do that on Shabbos. You can't put pickle in
there. So meit la'et is kavush. If you have meat and milk, you have some meat and milk that's spilled together. So what's the halacha? You have raw meat and milk that one spilled on the other. Right, so what do you do with the meat? You wash it off.
Yeah, quickly.
Because you didn't cook them together. Basar b'chalav is only osir if they were cooked together.
Or stayed on.
Well, I was going to say,
eaten together.
But if you soaked meat in
milk
for 24 hours, like as a marinade or something,
it's cooked.
Even though it hasn't been cooked with a capital C, it's kavush, and kavush kimavushal dummy. So this is a din of meit la'et. Meit la'et is a rabbinic metaphor for a period of 24 hours. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, Amru, meit la'et. That is 24 hours. My time, the Tanakama, Omar Kro, Biyom Shamo. So why does the Tanakama say you only have until Shkia? Because it's a pasuk. What does a pasuk say? B'yom Shamo. And except for Ben's outrageous reading of the pasuk, B'yom Shamo. The pshay, ask any pochazi when you ask any school kid, what does B'yom Shamo mean? It means until Shkia, till the end of that day. You say to somebody, if you want this deal to go through, I need the check by the end of business. I need the check by the end of the business day. So what does that mean?
It's travel agent, you have 24 hours.
No, in other words, you have 24 hours to cancel.
Right.
But it's not Biyomo. In other words, when they give
no, but if somebody said, if somebody said to you, if somebody said to you, I need it by the end of the business day, what would you understand him to mean?
When the Wall Street gong.
5 o'clock. Right? When is the bell on Wall Street? 4 o'clock. Right? So you come to him the next day, you say, no, but it's within 24 hours. That's not what he meant. So what's the havamina, what's the source for the Tanakama? My time at the Tanakama, Omar Krab, Yom Shamo. V'rabonon my tamayhu. And Rabbonon here doesn't mean all of it, it means these two rabbis. This pair of rabbis, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, what's their reason? To Omar Krab. Adichtiv, miyom el yom. What's that pasuk miyom el yom, Rav David?
It's in Tet Vavim, mechavish yachvish la isha miyom el yom, vikim et kol adreya o et kol asreya asher aliyah kim otam ki yachvish la miyom shom.
So Rashi said, Rashi here in the Gemara says, miyom el yom, mashma miotasha biyom ze ad yom hamocharat botasha. She made the neder at 2:59 p.m. You have until 2:59 p.m. tomorrow. Miyom el yom. That really does sound like from today till tomorrow.
Well, no, that's how we think. You're saying it was Yom Chareshia Chavishla Isha Miyom El Yom. That he. I think he didn't do a Hafara 24 hours. I begin to call the Reha.
Then in other words, if you don't do Hafara or Hakama, in other words, the husband has three options.
The pshat does mean that.
Right.
I mean, clearly, because the pasuk itself still says Biyom Shamo even in the same pasuk, and we have other cases where Biyom Liyom, right, like Yom Kippur, means that day. It doesn't mean, you know, just any random...
Mi Erev Ad Erev. Right. Although Chazal interpreted... Mi Erev Ad Erev is a special otherly. What's the Mi Erev Ad Erev? What do Chazal do with the pasuk of Mi Erev Ad Erev Yom Kippur? No, it's a very important din is learned from the posuk of Me'erev Ad Erev.
Tosefet,
the din of Tosefet Yom Kippur, from which we get the din of Tosefet Shabbat, right? That it's not enough to do it exactly 24 hours. You have to add on a little bit at the beginning, a little bit at the end. Right? That's what's learned out from Me'erev Ad Erev. So Me'erev Ad Erev actually is kind of teach you it's 24 hours plus, a little bit on the beginning, a little bit on the end. But miyom liyom, in context, miyom liyom really does, we do understand it as being biyom shamo. How would you translate miyom liyom in the context of the pshat there?
On that day.
On that day.
I mean, from the day when...
From that day until the end of that day, right, that business that day. Right. But when you excise the phrase... So then Chazal can darshan it however they want. And miyom el yom, outside of the context, can support, outside of the pshat, can support the drash of mihayom el yom ha-macharat, from today until tomorrow. So biyom shamo rabbana ma'ita miyom el yom. The Tanakama haktiv miyom el yom. So what is the Tanakama? The Tanakama says, biyom shamo until shkia. The other, the zug, these two chachamim say, 24 hours. Meid leit, miyom el yom. So what do the chachamim do with, what does the Tanakama do with miyom el yom? It's tarich. De'i biyom shamo havamina biyamama in belaila lo. K'tiv miyom el yom.
So, but that'd be kind of difficult, because then what if she made it better at night?
No, so I might think that since it says biyom shamo dafka, B'yom dafka.
At night, there's nothing. You're
and at night, what would be a, what? Give me a reason to think that's a plausible havamina. That hafart nedarim cannot be done at night.
Because
it says yom. So, but give me a support for the idea that here it's yom dafka.
You think of a logical reason or a havamina, like
no, like from our tradition, a reason to think that. Bat Din only function at night. I'm sorry, during the day.
Right.
The sunlight rule. Either it might mean if he hears it at night, he's out of luck. Or it might mean, presumably the Havamina, which we reject, presumably the Havamina, if you hear it at night, that's fine, but you can't do the Hafart and Darim at night. You have to wait until the morning to do the Hafart and Darim. You wake up in the morning and you forgot, that's your problem. Right?
No night court.
No night court in Judaism. So Hafart and Darim is not a Maaseh Betin. But Hafarat Nedarim is in the Dewey decimal system of Halacha, what entry is right next to Hafarat Nedarim? Hafarat Nedarim! Right? It's not such a stretch to think that some of the dinim of Hafarat Nedarim might carry over to Hafarat Nedarim. Although, in fact,
the Beit Din doesn't sit in Shabbat, you might have thought that you can't, similarly, you can't do
Hafarat Nedarim. Right, these are all Havaminas that are rejected, but there's something plausible to the Havamin at least. Kamash Malon, no. You can do Hafarat Nedarim even at night. How does the Tanakhama know you can do Hafarat Nedarim at night? How does he know that Biyom Shamo is not coming to teach you Biyom, yes, and because Miyom El Yom reminds you that. That Hafarat Nedarim is a 24-hour block. Ah, sometimes you don't get all 24 hours because you jumped on at the wrong time. In other words, the clock ticks down for 24 hours. You can enter at the beginning. You can enter at the end. The bell rings when it rings. But in principle, it's a period of 24 hours, including the night. You only hear about it 5 minutes before Shkia. It's true. You cannot be made for this neder at night only because you showed up late to the show. But in principle, a neder can be mufar at night.
The fact that in the same perek, it says both Biyom Shamo and Biyom Liyom.
Mm-hmm.
Is it talking about the same case? I mean,
I think it's talking about the same principle. Yeah.
So why is it going over it? What? I mean, what's?
Biyom Shamo is telling you that the husband.
Bim haferi haferi
but Biyom Shamo is telling you that his hafara rights are on Biyom Shamo, which are interpreted either as until sunset of that day or a 24-hour period starting from the time that he starts. And Miyom Liyom is telling you about the pocket hakama. Not the pocket veto, the pocket hakama. A husband hears a neder, he has three options. He can be mefer,
right,
and it's dead in the water. He can be make him now or any time until the deadline, whichever of the two deadlines you're working under. Once he's mekayim the neder, nothing he can do. He can't take it back. Or he can do
nothing.
Hecharish. And if he does nothing, what happens? Then after miyom liyom,
it becomes
de facto established.
Okay, now wouldn't that imply that there's a difference if the Torah mentioned them separately?
It's in the same pasuk. Also, miyom shamo.
No. Hecharish yecharish la is miyom liyom. Is Biyom Shamo.
Well, but
look in the end of Pasuk Tetav. It still says.
I don't have Pasuk numbers here. It's a typhoon.
Ki Yacharesh La Biyom Shamo.
Which Pasuk?
Tetav.
Where am I here? Tedvav. Vim hacharesh yacharish laisha mi yom el yom. I became called Ravet, Oi Kolesra, Sharleha. Hekim otam ki yacharish la bi yom shomo.
Meaning, the pasuk seems to say they're identical. I mean, it's the same. He didn't. My guess is that the reason the Torah uses a different language, at least according to this English translation you provided here, it says that from day to day, meaning he just. It sounds like he just let it go.
I don't know what translation that is.
Whatever. But I'm saying the idea is that they translate it as from day to day, just sort of like he. You know, it sounds like he just sort of let it slide. Mm-hmm. And more than, you know, in that day, you know, an active.
So the Gemara goes on, Lamanda Omer miyom el yom, and according to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Elazar and Shimon, that it's 24 hours, haktiv biyom shamo. So what do they, now the Gemara flips. So according to the opinion of 24 hours, what do you do with the pasuk of biyom shamo, which except for Ben's reading, everybody else in the history of Judaism has interpreted that pasuk to mean until Shkia? It's tarich. Deiktiv miyom el yom havamina machar michad b'shaba lechad b'shaba. I might have thought
it was the day of the week.
That it was the day of the week. That if she made a neder on Tuesday, I have until the next Tuesday. Miyom el yom. From this miyom shlishi hazeh ad yom shlishi haba. It's a more far-fetched havamina, but it would, you can understand the reading of the pasuk in the hypothetical world that would support such a thing. Biyom shamo kamash malon. Biyom shamo is coming. No, doesn't mean you have a whole week. Reject that outlandish reading. Biyom shamo means no, it means this day. This day until shkia, or this day on a 24-hour clock, but it means this day, however you read it. So Omer Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Omer Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, ein halacha ka'oto azug. The halacha is not like Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Eliezer. So one of the Mefarshim said, why does it call him oto zug?
It sounds a little derogatory, actually. But
why? The zugot were the great tanoim.
That's true, but oto zug.
No, it's to emphasize that there's two of them. Mm-hmm. There's two of them.
There's two.
You might have thought the fact that this is a Tanakama versus a pair of Chachamim. So I might have thought that, you know, Yochid v'Rabim, that two outweighs one. So nevertheless, we reject this opinion. So the halach is not like them. Levi Savar, the Kotozuk Levi Savar the Ma'abed Kahane Tanai. Levi Dafka thought Paskin like them. Like those two Tanoim. Omer Le Rav Hachi Omar Chavivi Chabibi Ein Halacha Koto Azug. Chavivi is uncle. How did you know that?
Well, I think I remembered it from looking at the forum, but it's, I thought it sounds also, there's,
this translation brings here, Chavivi is a kitzer for Achi Avi.
Achi Avi or something. Yeah, I don't know, right? Seinfeld doesn't say that here, but I remember at some point looking it up from the blog. But,
Yeah,
Iran says it.
Where does Iran say this?
He's talking about the etymology of being Achi Avi.
Achi Avi. Chavivi is if the two words allied together, it becomes Chavivi. I mean, it makes sense. And the whole idea that an uncle is a dode, an aunt is a doda, right? That somehow the relationship, I don't know about you, but I certainly, many people have, in some ways you have like this very warm relationship, because an aunt and uncle, they're like parents without all of the baggage attached. My mother was an only child, and you know, she had parents who loved her, but she and her mother used to lock horns all the time. But she had this one aunt who didn't have, like, her. This aunt didn't have children for, like, much of my... Her eldest child was born, my mother was already a bit older. So she was the doting aunt on my mother, who was the eldest in the family. And, you know, whenever my mother would lock horns with my grandmother, she would go running to this... to this aunt, you know, who, you know, because you can spoil your niece and nephew, because what do you care? They end like grandparents. So, but this idea that the relationship between nieces and nephews and their aunts and uncles has like some special affection, right? So the idea that Chavivi, now probably it's not, probably Chaviv is from Milashon Chiba, but...
I think it was Bruno Bettelheim who said that about kibbutz children who were raised in a Beit Yeladim. Their relationship to their parents is more like that of an
adult. Interesting. So Omar Chavivi, ain't Allah Chakodah Mazug. Chia Barav, Barav. So, okay, so we'll have to finish next time to see how this all works out.
Oh, yeah.